Thank you so much. First of all, I would like to thank the organizer for putting up such an amazing program, and also for the 3 invitation that I will count in my CV. And so I will start briefly just to mention that if we want to understand the rules of tumor immunosurveillance, or if we want to better understand and improve the mechanism that operate during tumor immunotherapies, we need to tackle the tumor complexity and the complexity of the tumor microenvironment, because we are dealing with a lot of cells. There are different types for the immune cells. The tumor cells are also different from their neighbors. And so, fortunately, single cell technology, and I think you'll hear the great things about, in particular, single cell genomics in a few minutes, have enabled to somehow deconvolute this complexity, identify a mechanism. But I will talk to you today about a different single cell technique, and that's intravital imaging. And the reason why is that within the tumor microenvironment, the mechanisms that operate are in fact encrypted by the sum of a number of very dynamic events, such as how cells migrate, infiltrate the tumor, interact with each other, capture signals during transient interaction, also events such as cell death, which rate is of course very important, together with cell division, etc., etc. So we believe that if we have a full understanding of what's really happening in the tumor microenvironment, I think this is also an interesting approach to gather this unique set of information. So the work I will show you today is actually the work of 3 amazing scientists in the lab. So let me briefly introduce them. Marine Cazot, who is a former MD-PhD student in the lab. Capucine Grandjean, who was a postdoc and now a CR also in the lab. And the most of the
recent work,
the majority of the work has been performed by also extremely talented PhD student, Morgan Bulch. So I feel really uncomfortable introducing CAR T cells when really the 2 pioneers are in this program, but I will do it maybe for the youngest of you. So the principle of CAR T cells is quite simple to, I think, at least to explain, is basically to arm T cells with a new receptor that will provide the specificity against a surface antigen of the tumor cells, and that's using an antibody fragment, coupled to a signaling domain that will trigger effector function in the T cells. And so far, this has been a personalized therapy, because it's the patient T cells that are isolated, engineered to express the CAR, expanded, and then reinfused in the same patient for most cases after a conditioning regimen. Now, this therapy has been mostly applied so far to treat B cell malignancy, targeting the CD19 molecule. And this has yielded really tremendous clinical result, very impressive result, with a very high remission rate in the range of 80%, but less patients actually undergo long-term remission. So this, of course, suggests that we need to better understand the determinant of CAR T cell failure. But I will say that more generally, what we would like to better understand is the biology of CAR T cells in vivo, because of course we know they can be efficient, but we think there's still a lot to learn. So there's many outstanding questions when you talk about CAR T cells, because it's such a promising therapy, and we will just focus on 4 of them, the one that we were interested in. So first, how efficient is CAR T cells mediated tumor killing in vivo? Of course, we know that these cells are cytotoxic in vitro assay, and we know they can clear the tumor, but can we get really quantitative measurement of their activity? Patients, in most cases, receive a non-controlled mixture of CD4 and CD8 positive CAR T cells, and that could be extremely variable from patient to patient. So we would like to better understand the unique and shared contribution of each subset. Can we consider that CAR T cells are actually on an autopilot mode and basically are just killing machines that go to the tumor site and lyse tumor cells, or do they need more sophisticated interaction to be fully efficient? And can we identify some tumor cell intrinsic properties that will influence the efficiency and the way CAR T cells kill this tumor? And to address all these questions, we decided to use an immunocompetent mouse model. Of course, immunodeficient mice are very helpful, in particular when you want to use and work with human CAR T cells. But what we really wanted to understand is really the range of interaction that can happen between the host and the CAR T cells, and therefore we think this model would be more appropriate. So it's really a completely mouse model. We are using CAR T cells that recognize the mouse CD19 molecule. We have generated some B cell lymphoma, and we treat mice after conditioning. In addition, what we have included in our assay is a FRET probe that allows us to visualize tumor cell apoptosis in real time. And this is based on two fluorescent proteins and the peptide that is cleaved by caspase-3, so that whenever a tumor cell undergo apoptosis, for example, because it's killed by your CAR T cells, there will be a cleavage. The two molecules will be far apart, and then you lose the fluorescent phenomenon of FRET, and we can read that out by a color change. So it's very, very convenient. So we decided to again rely on intravital two-photon microscopy. We do that in the bone marrow. Because that's the primary site for the B-cell lymphoma that we are studying, in order to study interaction as well as killing the dynamics, because we really wanted to get a really quantitative measurement. So this is the type of image we can get. You can see CAR T cells in green. You can see live tumor cells in white, together with apoptotic tumor cells in blue. And of course, the advantage of this is you can actually follow that in real time. So in each of these squares, you will be a killing event where a CAR T cell, maybe you can focus on this one, you see a CAR T cells interact with the tumor, and the tumor change color as a result of the interaction. So this is one example, but you have one in all the other squares. So you see, this is very easy to detect and to quantify. One interesting feature is, despite the fact that this receptor are made to have a high affinity for the antigen, you can see that the T cells disengage very efficiently from their target. And as a result, what we observe in some instances is a serial killing, whereby the same CAR T cells can kill sequentially two targets. So this will be shown here. You will see the two neighboring tumor cells being killed by this CAR, and they will become blue one after the other. So it's a very efficient killing process that we can quantify by accumulating a lot of measurement. And overall, we estimate that it takes 23 minutes from the time of engagement of the target to disengagement of the target, and usually a single CAR is enough to perform the job. So now, what I've shown you was with CD8 positive cells. So what's the functional contribution of these two subsets? And we decided to take an unbiased approach and basically use our model with a purified population of CD4 positive CAR, we'll call them CAR4, or CD8 positive CAR, so CAR8. And we start just by getting a picture of the tumor microenvironment without or with the CAR T cell transfer. And of course, this yields a lot of interesting observation. I will just focus on two clusters, which are the endogenous effector, so the host NK cells and the host T cells. What you really see is that the transfer of the CAR increase the accumulation of the host immune cells. That's true for CAR4 and CAR8, and not only it increased the accumulation, but you see that these cells, looking at, for example, at granzyme B or perforin, are much more activated as a result of transfer of the CAR. So we can confirm this by flow cytometry. I will not go into the detail, just to show you that, in general, CAR4 and CAR8 are both capable of activating the host immune system, but in general, CAR4 do it a bit better, both at the level of the recruitment and at the level of the activation. So which factor is actually driving this host immune system, or this host immune cell activation? We investigated the role of interferon gamma that could be produced by CAR T cells, and repeat this type of experiment by preparing CAR4 or CAR8 that are incapable of producing interferon gamma. And when we do that, we really see either a strong decrease or even sometimes an abolishment of the immune activation, indicating that indeed the interferon gamma derived from the CAR T cells play a key role in this host immune activation. But what about the CAR T cells themselves? Do they actually care about producing interferon gamma or not? What we noticed, if we prepare CAR T cells from interferon gamma deficient mice, is that these CAR, before transfer, they are really effective at killing. They are really we cannot really distinguish them from the wild type. However, when you transfer them in vivo, after a few days, we start to see a loss in their cytotoxic phenotype. So, for example, the intracellular content of granzyme B is decreasing. And in fact, you get the same effect if the host is not able to sense the interferon gamma, suggestive of crosstalk, really, between the CAR T cells that produce interferon gamma, the host cells that respond to interferon gamma, to this interferon gamma, that sense the interferon gamma in a way that will maintain the cytotoxic phenotype of the CAR T cells. So, of course, it's an interesting observation to see an effect on the phenotype of the CAR, but does it really matter? And this is again where I think intravital imaging can really provide the unique information about killing rate in vivo. And so we decided to investigate their capacity to kill by intravital imaging. So again, using wild-type CAR T cells, this is what I've shown you before. You see a lot of killing event. The CD8 cells establish contact and then lyse the target. But if you do the same with interferon gamma deficient CAR, you barely see any killing event, so there's a really a defect in killing that is acquired in vivo after a few days. And this is the quantification showing a five-fold decrease in the killing rate. So this dependency on interferon gamma is seen in this model at the level of the survival. So you see that the therapeutic benefit obtained with the CAR T cell is lost if the CAR are not able to produce interferon gamma, or if the host is not able to respond to interferon gamma. So what links interferon gamma to the cytotoxicity of the CAR T cells? Of one obvious candidate was IL-12 that works often in concert with interferon gamma. We find that IL-12 is indeed increased as a result of the CAR T cell transfer. That is primarily produced by dendritic cells in the tumor microenvironment. And if you use hosts that cannot produce IL-12, you get the same kind of phenotype that you obtain with interferon gamma deficient CAR T cells, suggesting really that the crosstalk goes through sensing of interferon gamma and production of IL-12. So back to CD4 positive cells, and the question is if we use the CD4 positive cells in the model that I've just shown you, we really see no therapeutic benefit. This is in contrast to different models that we have generated in the lab. This is a probicel tumor where we see a quite efficient control, which raises two questions. One is how CAR T cells, CD4 positive cells, can which mechanism is used to eliminate a tumor? And second, why is it different from tumor to tumor? So Morgan decided to really look at this in detail and observe the CAR T cells in situ, and she observed again some contact-dependent killing. So you've just seen a CAR that interacts with and kills the target, but she observed also a number of events when the tumor undergo apoptosis without apparent contact with CAR T cells. And of course, we cannot exclude that we have missed a contact that happened 2 hours before, but that was quite striking, in particular compared to CD8 positive cells. And again, I mentioned that this type of indirect killing is not seen if you don't have the CAR T cells in the system. So we decided to really investigate quantitatively the contribution of this direct and indirect killing. And so basically what we did, a lot of movies where we count the indirect killing and the direct killing. They are labeled with different color here using wild type and wild type CAR T cells, CD4 CAR T cells. And what you see, of course, we make a lot of movie, but this is representative of the whole, is that the majority of killing are indeed indirect killing, but there is typically a third of the killing that are contact seems to be contact dependent. So again, quite different from what we see with the CD8 cells. Let's take perforin deficient CAR4 positive cells and do the same exercise, and then what we see. Is that we maintain the indirect killing, so suggesting that it's not that this indirect killing, it's not that we have missed a previous contact with the CAR, but we lose the majority of the direct killing, suggesting that the contact-dependent killing that we see in with CD4 positive cells is perforin-dependent. And now we do the same with interferon gamma deficient CAR T cells. And the result is the exact opposite. Basically, we maintain the direct killing event, but we lose the indirect killing event. And this is really the quantification after a lot of experiment. Again, showing you a dominance of indirect killing, but a significant contribution of direct killing that are perforin dependent, whereas the indirect killing seems to be interferon gamma dependent. So the fact that we see killing at distance that is interferon gamma dependent suggests that interferon gamma probably diffuses quite efficiently in the tumor microenvironment. This is something we have investigated previously, but we've done it in this particular system using this probe that we introduce in the tumor cells. This is a STAT1 GFP reporter that upon STAT1 signaling will result in a change in the distribution of the fluorescence. And so this is really nice, so we can use control T cells that are not being transduced by the CAR, and you see really that the reporter is largely excluded from the nucleus, but then you get this really more homogeneous staining throughout the tumor a few days, 1 or 2 days after the CAR T cell transfer. So very efficient diffusion. So let's ask on which cell is this interferon gamma acting? It could act on the host, as we have seen in the previous model, but it could also act directly on the tumor. And here, what we did is to generate probe cells that are devoid of the interferon gamma receptor, mix them with wild-type tumor, and then treat with CAR T cells, and what we see in all the organ where this tumor is developing is an effective control of the tumor cells that express the gamma receptor, but lack of control of the cells that do not express the receptor, suggesting a direct activity on the tumor cells. So we thought that maybe that's the reason why we see a discrepancy in the literature and also in our model about the efficacy of CD4-positive cells in inducing tumor regression. So we decided to generate a lot of proby cell line, so that will be that will all have their own mutation and probably differ from each other. And indeed, we find that some tumor cells, like the red, the green, and the yellow, undergo apoptosis if you incubate them with interferon gamma, but some others are not sensitive, and indeed are two cell lines that I've shown you before, the two models that are the mimic and the proby cells, also show difference in the response. So we decided to mix them all together and then treat with CAR T cells that were wild type of interferon gamma. And what we observe is that all the tumor cells are controlled except the blue one, which is the insensitive one, and that start to emerge and probably in a way that resembles what is seen for other immunotherapies in some tumor with resistance mechanism involving the interferon gamma signaling. So, just to recapitulate this, we started with a very simple question. So, how CAR T cells kill their target? Indeed, the contact-dependent activity of CD8 is key, but it's not the only important function of the CAR. Cytokine production, and in particular interferon gamma, can be really key through different mechanisms. First, by contributing to the activation of the host effector, and that could be also important to eliminate, for example, antigen variant. But also, through this crosstalk with IL-12, we think this is key to sustain over time the cytotoxic potential of the CAR and to allow this CAR to be to continuously kill their target. And for a subset of tumor, not all of them, the one that will be sensitive or more sensitive to the pro-apoptotic effect of interferon gamma, interferon gamma can act directly on the tumor at distance through this remote killing that could also be important to eliminate antigen loss variant. And this is really most likely a property of CD4 positive cells. So I hope I convince you of the power of imaging, and I think you will hear about different imaging modalities that are very complementary and helpful in this session. Let me just briefly mention the work that we have done with Charles Barou. We took a different approach to basically investigate this killing process with a different spatiotemporal scale. This is using the very nice system that Charles has developed in his lab to basically create a tumor spheroid in a multiplex manner. Another smart thing is added a new trap here, so you can come up with a new cell population, for example, T cells, and start the process in a really homogeneous manner. And so in each of these tiny wells, the spheroid will form. So you see one here. And you can basically, this is a mini experiment where you will first assess whether the tumor spheroid is destroyed or not. So we have individual variation in the different wells. And you can, of course, link this to the behavior of the T cells, how fast do they accumulate on the spheroid. And basically, by combining this with mathematical modeling, we uncover different collective mechanisms, in particular a feed-forward amplification of the accumulation of the T cells. So the T cells that are in the spheroid are basically contributing to recruiting more T cells, together with some evidence for cooperative killing during the process. So if you're interested, about this methodology will be out very, very soon. And with that, I would like to thanks again all the people of my lab, and in particular the people who have done the job that I've just shown you. And I would like to thank you for your attention, and I'm happy to take questions.